Yeah.
Lyndon Johnson, how are you, Cindy? Dick, how are you?
Pretty good, Mr. President. How are you?
Fine. I just wanted to figure out what you thought overnight and what bases you thought were untouched, what your reaction was to the statement, and what we should have said we didn't.
Well, I thought you made a fine statement, Mr. President.
We talked to the three candidates, I think I told you.
Yes.
I didn't see any of them come out in the paper and say this. I'm afraid I'm pretty well bragging a little.
I thought Wallace made a magnificent statement.
I didn't see it. I haven't seen it.
Well, he's in the paper here. He said that I could care less how it affects my campaign. All other matters, pale into any significance as to how it affects me or any other candidate. Said he, raising hopes that the bombing and the halt orders that you'd ordered is the beginning of the end of hostilities in Southeast Asia. He said that he had briefed by, on your action about 6 p.m.
Well, that's wonderful. He said he made the finest statement both times we talked to him, of any of the three. He said last night that, Mr. President, I'll back you. Mr. President, I'll be praying for you every hour. And I just want you to know that.
Well, he went on further. I haven't got that part of it for me, but he said the commander-in-chief, but none of us can question that now, and that supports you so far. I thought that's far as you go. I hadn't seen why Nixon said anything specific.
Nixon just said, we'll back you. He's the first one said it last night, then Humphrey, and Wallace followed, and then Humphrey. I think Nixon is worried and is floundering. He's fearful it'll have some effect, and I don't think that he's quite sure. I don't think he trusts us because he doesn't trust himself. That's my judgment. I think that he's had these people engaged in this stuff, and I told all the candidates that yesterday. I said that they've been folks messing around with both sides. And, speaking of Humphrey, I said some folks saying that making speeches at where Hanoi thought that they could benefit by waiting, and then South Vietnam now is beginning to think they can benefit by waiting, but what people doing. So he knows that I know what he's doing, and this morning they're kind of closing up. Some of his agents are not so active. The other side, I noticed one of the embassies refused to answer their call.
Well, you have any idea what kind of response you're going to get out of the North Vietnamese or when it's coming, I guess?
They'll blast us and raise hell and keep fighting. The great danger in this for us is that they will not let up at the DMZ, and they will shell the cities, in which event I'll have to go right back. I have given Creighton, though, the rules of engagement, and he doesn't even have to come to us. And he says he's going to give them two tits for one tat. And in the meantime, he's taken every plane we've got, every bomb we've got, every man we've got, and he's putting all the firepower that he can on Laos, where it's dry and where they're coming and coming in. And there's not anything coming through North Vietnam. They're all going out now. They're pulling out. But he's going to take this same firepower and concentrate it in South Vietnam and Laos. And then if they're not hitting his cities and he doesn't have to defend those cities, he's going to spread out over the countryside and try to clean them out pretty good. He was in hopes that he'd have a great psychological advantage and he'd mount a masterful psychological warfare, say now's the time to come on in, give up. You see, they've recognized your government. They've recognized the leaders. They've got President Chu coming to the conference table. So now's the time to give up. And he would have North Vietnam protected, the DMZ protected. He'd have his cities protected. He'd be free to turn all of his power in Laos and South Vietnam with his planes. And then he could release his men, that several thousands that are protecting these places like Saigon, and really have a sweep. Now the damn fools in Saigon, we don't know what they're going to do. Last night they They came back and made three demands on me. One was we set no date for the conference. Well, I can't do that because, well, the main thing I'm getting out of this is they let GVN come to the table. That's what I've been demanding all these years, and now they've agreed to it. So I've got to have a date. And so we told...
I thought they'd already agreed they're going to meet there and talk Wednesday.
They all agreed 2 weeks ago. And then they agreed to one day a week ago. But after Nixon's operatives got busy with them, they started playing to January. And the first statement South Vietnam put out was that this was a unilateral action of the president. And old man Bunker stayed with them all night. They put out another one this morning that said that they hoped it would lead to peace, that you couldn't tell what whether good, that he really didn't know whether any good could come from it or not. Just wouldn't predict. But what he did at the last minute, I spoke at 8 and I guess he came in at 7. Maybe 7:15 even, I've forgotten, but he said that he would go along and issue a joint announcement if I'd cut out the date in my speech where I said that they were going to meet regularly next Wednesday and they'd be free to be there. I didn't say they would be there. I said they'd be free to be there. He said if I'd eliminate that. Well, I couldn't eliminate it. It's already on the tape and I wouldn't anyway. That was the first thing. The second thing, if I would give him a guarantee that the North Vietnamese would not cross the DMZ and not shell the cities. I told him I couldn't give him a communist guarantee, that I'd tell him I had good reason to believe that they had told us that you stop the bombing and we'll show you. And you'll see it soon. The implication is that clearly they will. We've told them that a dozen times, and we've told them the talks can't go on if they're doing either, and they won't talk, so we must, when we say, do you get it? They say, yes, we get it. That must mean that they really understand us. Then the Russians have told us. I told the Russians that I doubted that they would live by this, by the DMZ and by the cities. And the Russian Kosygin came back and said, Mr. President, I can assure you, your doubts are not justified. Now, I don't know. I thought I left myself plenty of running room last night, but I couldn't get. I couldn't guarantee him, but I went right back to him and said, "Yes, I will agree this." I tried to play him like Kennedy did Kosygin. I said, "I will assure you that I have reason to believe that they will not. No man can guarantee a communist statement, but I have reason to believe." But he wouldn't take that.
Chew. Yeah.
Chew asked three things of me. One was I eliminate the date completely. The second thing that I give him a guarantee, and I've forgotten what the other one was. It's something that
the last one I
don't remember myself even. Yeah. But
of course you couldn't agree to either one of those. He'll be there though. I don't mean he'll be there, but his representative.
He's making a big speech tonight, 9 o'clock, to all of his assembly. And I'm worried about Pac, too, because all these people out there get awful exercised. Every damn one of them cleared this 2 weeks ago, but after they think they can get a little better deal, and
that's right.
they all get independent, you know, after you do. But we may have to start back bombing, or we may not get anywhere. But I think this ought to put the cap on the climax. Every some bitch that says stop bombing, everything will be lovely. They got a chance to see now. And I don't believe we're going to lose anything, because I asked Abrams this question. Could he assure me? In August, he told me they would increase their capability fivefold if we stopped the bombing, and he'd have to move his men out of the I Corps. Now, I said, this is October, November. Can you assure me that if we stop the bombing, that it will not result in an increase in casualties? He said, I most certainly can. He said, first place, they haven't got anybody north of Da Nang. Second place, they can't get anybody down there Without violating your rules, is that where I'll be back bombing again? The damn roads are so bad, and the weather's so bad, and 22 inches rain in 24 hours, and all that kind of stuff, and not 2 days a month that we can get through, and so on and so forth. And he said he's whipped, and he's been whipped since September. Your people just don't know it, but said he knows it. And Westmoreland says identically the same thing, and Palmer says the same thing. Do you feel that, or do you know enough about it?
I don't know enough about it to evaluate that.
I wish you did.
They seem to think so, and...
I wish you'd come up here, you can sit around and let them show you where they got their divisions and where they moved and what's happened and see what the hell you think about it. Are you going to come back before the first of the year?
Yes, sir. I'll be in there for the first of the year.
First time you do, you make Palmer and Westmoreland sit down with you and Buzz Wheeler and see just what they've done. They claim that they've got less than 75,000 North Vietnamese left, that they moved 40, 50 of them out.
Well, they said that the other day there.
Yes, that's right.
I mean Westmoreland.
That's right, but they're still moving them out. And Westmoreland is just as cocky as you are that you know how to make a point of order. He's just as sure that they've had him whipped since September. He said it's over.
He repeated that a couple of times there the other day.
Did you think that we were weak in any point on our statement? We left anything that ought to be...
I think when you consider what you had to go on, it was a fine statement. You couldn't make them any guarantees, just like you can't tell that fella in South Vietnam that you promised him that there'd be no shelter. Activities in DMZ.
Where do you think I'm weak? What do you think my danger is?
I don't. The only danger I see, Mr. President, is purely from a historical standpoint, and have no relation to present day. If there is a big flare-up, say on election day, a bombing in Saigon and Hue and all those other places, and shooting torpedoes in there, and they get active in the DMZ, you're going to have to hit them then, and then you'll be accused of this being a purely political maneuver. That's all I can see, but from the standpoint of day to day, I think that you have closed all the holes remarkably well.
I think if these three candidates take the position they do, that they could, we could keep it out of politics altogether, if every damn one of them say I support it.
I think that's true, because there ain't going to be much, there ain't going to be any politics after next Tuesday, except the recriminations and the funeral services and all that.
What's your guess about the election?
Sir?
What's your guess about the election?
It's hard for me to say. I've changed my mind on it so often. For a while, didn't think Humphrey had a prayer. And it looked like to me he made a pretty big surge forward about 3 or 4 weeks ago. But that stopped and flattened out. I just don't know. I don't know how New York and Pennsylvania are going. I think that they may tell the story. Humphrey can carry both them. I think his chances are as good or better than Nixon.
I believe he's got a good chance to carry both of them, but I don't think he carry Ohio, and I doubt he carry Illinois. I think that's gone. I think he'd be in trouble in Michigan. I don't believe he'll carry a southern state. I think he's...
Michigan.
Yes, everybody says he will, but I don't know.
I think he'll carry Michigan by 100,000 votes. I think he is in trouble in Ohio. I think Illinois is up for grabs. And Nixon, for some strange reason, seems to have revived his strength in California. I don't know how, after he got beat so bad for governor out there and all, but such meager estimates, I guess, that Nixon's going to carry California.
Yes, I would think he would. Who's going to carry Georgia?
It still looks like Wallace, but it's mighty close.
Between Wallace and Nixon?
Yeah. And Humphrey. Well, that's a three-way. Because you can't write Humphrey off. He's going to get, he'll get 80% of the negative votes, 85% of it. No, about 80. Nixon will get about 15, 20%. They've got some of the few Negro leaders that support Nixon down here. But Humphrey will get 85% of that vote, and if he can get 20% of the white vote, he can take care of the state. I was talking to a fellow the other day, he said if Nixon, if Humphrey could get any white vote at all, he'd carry Mississippi. You don't get all the Negro votes, 100%, and yeah, about as many of them as there was of the whites, and the whites split down the middle between Nixon and Wallace, but of course that sounds foolish, but he swore it true, and he's a man that's knowledgeable out there in politics. He's been traveling the state for 20 years, he never had missed a chair.
Have you had any comment on the speech last night or the move? Any press?